Welcome to another episode of Why Your Story Podcast, brought to you by the beautiful home of SBI Media. I am your host, Travis Osmond.
I am your host, Mary Jo Parker.
And together we are
Why Your Story.
What a great tune. If you could ever start a podcast with AC/DC and Bruno Mars, makes me smile.
We would have millions of listeners.
We would have millions if we just did that.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't we get right on that?
Because I'm too hot. Hot day. Right?
Yeah. That's why you have on a sweatshirt and shorts.
If you could get AC/DC and Bruno Mars on a stage together, I'd be there.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, I'd be there. Anyway, let's... On a beautiful fall day, let's reminisce on things that we love about fall for a second, should we?
Colors.
I love colors.
Well, okay,
I'm proud of you. That's like a 3-year-old answer.
No, it is not.
I love my colors. Or are you talking about colors of trees?
Like leaf peeping.
Okay, that makes difference.
That's
leaf
right.
Peeping.
No, but really,
what do you love about fall? Colors.
Well,
I do.
I know you're gonna say.
I like the,
and we're fed.
No, I'm not. I don't think we have any deer to hunt this year, so I'm gonna take it off.
Yeah,
I really am.
Really?
I have a deer tag, but I don't know. I'm not feeling. I feel like there's like 3 deer left after last winter, and I don't want to shoot one of the 3. So
Okay.
But that's just me.
What else do you like about fall?
I love the coolness of the air. I love the crisp mornings. That's what I love.
Now, what kind of answer is that?
Crisp mornings?
I like crisp mornings.
It's better than colors.
It is not.
Purple, yellow, blue. Anyway,
I do love fall.
It is a beautiful time to be in Star Valley. I wish fall lasted for a long time.
Yes, me too.
It's like spring, though. We go from winter to summer. Winter to tourist season.
Yeah.
Like, fast.
Fast.
In the summer, so.
Yeah.
Hang in there, fall. Hang in there with us for a little while.
With your crisp air and beautiful colors.
Yep. We hope everybody's doing well today for this podcast. We have a special guest here for you all today.
All of our guests are special.
All of them especially
is special.
Some of them that I can remember have not been special. But today's is special. And Sierra Mitchell's in the house.
Sierra Mitchell?
Everybody knows Sierra Mitchell.
And if they don't...
They should.
They should.
Yeah. So, Sierra...
Yes.
Hi.
Hey. I think everyone should experience being in this room with you too. It's like the most funnest thing of your life.
Oh, my word. If only everybody could get that experience for sure. The problem is they would know how nutty we are, and
yes,
then they would stop listening to our podcast, and that's what we don't want. So we hope that we can bring a smile to people out there that might need a smile, and so... That's our goal, and that's why we have Sierra with us today.
That's right.
So, if you don't know Sierra Mitchell, for those one or two of you out there, Sierra is the face, the personality, the embodiment of our Afton Food Pantry here in Afton. That makes sense. Afton Food Pantry.
That was such a beautiful way to put it. I don't know if that's true.
It is true. Because I was there in the very beginning for a little bit.
You were.
I was.
That's right.
Yes, I was. So, Sierra, what we'd like to do today for our podcast is kind of focus on the food pantry.
Yeah, I can talk all about that.
Yeah, and the beginnings, the middles, where we're at today. You know, we just want to cover it for everybody in the valley that might not be familiar with it. And so, if you don't mind, maybe let's just talk about you for just a second so that the people can get to know you. Tell us about yourself, your family, Don't need to tell us your age unless you want to.
I won't divulge that.
Okay.
I have some kids at the school fooled on my age.
Yes, good.
Okay, so I'm Sierra Mitchell. I have lived in Star Valley for 24 years. Do not hold this against me, but I am a native Californian.
Oh, I'm sorry, Travis.
Okay. But listen, I married a native boy. Where's the stop button?
That's true.
I did marry a native boy. Mike Mitchell, shout out to you. You're working hard at the Simplot right now.
So those of you that don't know Mike, Mike is the probably the most incredible person you know because, or I know.
Okay.
A, he's always smiling.
Really, that's true.
B, he is a heck of a mechanic.
That is true too.
That is true. I mean, I would take anything to Mike Mitchell to get fixed.
Wow.
And C, let's just stick with A and B.
He supports his wife running the food pantry.
He does. He's just great.
That's neat.
I couldn't run the food pantry without him because he's the go-to man fixing all the stuff down there and setting up freezers and all that jazz.
That's good.
So I've been in Star Valley for 24 years. This is home. I love it. I actually did not want to stay here as a teenager. I wanted that one-way ticket right on out, you know, like most of us did.
Yes.
Because you were like, oh, small town, everybody knows everything. And that gets kind of frustrating at times when you're a teenager, when your mom knows you're absent 5 minutes into class because the secretary called her. But I found my husband, and I got married, and we made this home. And we have three great kids, although I will take all the help I can get. I have a 14-year-old boy. And while I know I love him, but right now we're not liking him so much.
Yes.
Besides food. Food appeals to my child. But, any advice that parents want to give on a teenager when it's your first go-round, I will scoop it all up.
Well, don't ask my parents. That was a bad one.
So is he your oldest?
He is my oldest, yes. And we're in that awkward, weird, brain is gone stage, sure. And he smells a little, and he doesn't want to wash his football gear, and it grosses me out, but he does do well with food.
Okay.
So I just, he wakes up, and I just push a little plate in front of him, and then we're friends for a minute. And then I have a 12-year-old Jace, and my little Callie girl. She's our baby. She's spoiled, but we love her. So we got the three beautiful little children we have.
That's so fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we love them.
So what brought you to Star Valley? You said that you came when you were young. What ultimately brought you here?
You want to go like really deep?
No, I don't want to go deep.
We won't go deep.
Whatever
yet.
You want to cover.
Okay.
What brought you?
I'm
just curious what brings someone from sunny California to Star Valley 24 years ago.
I know, it's kind of weird.
It's like the massive wave right now, but 24 years ago was different.
It was different because this town was a little bit smaller and
there
wasn't much here. So just a quick little bit is my mom moved a lot between multiple marriages and things and the relationship with my dad, which is a really difficult one. And we moved a lot in my youth, and she ended up meeting a man in California and got married, and that man became my stepdad. I call him dad.
Okay.
And he did not want to raise kids in California. Awesome. I can't blame him, right?
Right.
Smart man.
Good man.
Very smart.
Yeah.
Good man.
And his family traveled every year to Cody to a dude ranch. And so he was familiar with coming through the area and really loved it. And so they got married, and shortly after that, they decided that didn't obviously want to raise kids in California. And so randomly my stepdad threw my mom's application to the Star Valley Medical Center at that point, because she's a nurse.
Yeah.
And they hired her on the spot. And so all of a sudden they went, oh, we're going. So there I was in sixth grade going, where's Wyoming?
Wow.
What's aft in Star Valley, Wyoming? Okay, here we go. So we moved up here my sixth grade year, and me and my older sister did ask my mom, please stop moving us. Like, we want to have roots somewhere. We want to have the same group of people that we know. And so she did agree that she'd let my sister and I get through high school. And then eventually my little brother came, so we have a big age gap, but he came, and I got to graduate high school here, which was great. And then through my high school senior year, I met my husband. So then it was, I'm married to a native. I am not going anywhere. Here we go, Star Valley, and it became home. But what's funny is that as a teenager, I wanted a one-way ticket out of here. And now as an adult raising my kids here,
oh, man.
It's the most incredible place to be.
It is.
Even though some people can't stand how small and unique and family friendly it is because there isn't a lot. However, as you get older, things change.
You appreciate that.
They do.
Absolutely. 100%. Right, yeah. Now, I did not appreciate this winter. So even my husband wanted a one-way ticket out of here. I think we all did because it was brutal.
MJ and I were ready to leave. We had our bags packed, everything. And then the sun like poked through for a few minutes and you're like, okay.
Okay, I can make it another day.
Another day.
Right. Oh, man.
When
that was rough.
Once you have sunshine, it's tolerable. But yeah, those gray skies and gross snow and
It was a rough go, but this is home and my roots are now here and I do love it. Besides the winter we had this year, I don't love that.
Sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So tell us what you do.
Oh, I do lots of things. Okay. So currently I work for the school district full time. I'm a permanent sub. So I get to bounce every day into new classrooms and I'm a mom. So that keeps you like full time busy.
Yes.
A wife. And then I really love just giving my time to help others, which is something I've found I'm kind of good at, like running an event. I kind of can troubleshoot and lay out. And that's gotten me roped into like, I think 27 fundraisers. Which eventually led to the Afton Food Pantry. So,
and how long has that been going on?
I did that when I was a stay-at-home mom to my Gage, which was 14 years ago, when I needed an out. You know, stay-at-home moms, I commend you. I was there, and you just need someone else to talk to.
Sure.
And so I was like, well, I can give a little bit of my time to that fundraiser and help it be a success and help it make a difference for a family that's facing a tragedy. Why not? And that was like my social hour. And then slowly you just start to say, hey, you survived one fundraiser, join us in the next one. So then I just started going from one to another. And
amazing.
And then there's been a lot and I have loved almost every single one of them. Some of them are not so fun. You know, some of them are hard. You're dealing with a lot of tragedy and you're trying to help people in their hardest hour. And that can be emotionally just a lot. But luckily we have a really good community. And that's what I have grown to love and grown to see in all those fundraisers is how incredible this little community is.
I agree. So what is our percent here in Star Valley? Maybe just you can narrow it down to Afton. Like nationally it's 1 out of 7.
Are you talking like people that need, that are in need? Oh, okay.
That are in need. Nationally, it's 1 in 7, which is super high.
I didn't know that.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But what is ours here? Are we?
So, MJ, we're talking about like those in need of food, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You ready for this one? The state of Wyoming is 1 in 5. 1 in 5 people do not know where their next meal comes from.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
I think people don't realize that food insecurity exists, even in small towns like this.
Yes.
There are people going hungry. Mm. There are children not knowing if there'll be food on the table tomorrow. The statistics show the state of Wyoming is 1 in 5 people.
Good heavens. Wow. Is that because of just the ruralness of Wyoming?
Absolutely.
You think?
It's difficult. And, you know, in small towns, maybe you only have one grocery store and when they can set their price and it's higher.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have access to big chain stores where it could be cheaper.
Sure.
You know, so things might be a little more expensive in your small town. And so, 1 in 5 in Wyoming. That sucks, people. We gotta change that.
How is it looking now, like at the current date today? Are your shelves full? Are they empty?
Diving right on. Full. Here we go.
Yeah, Afton. I was going to say, just delve right in. So now we're talking the Afton Food Pantry, right?
We're going
so
there.
Let's just back up a little bit. When did we start? When did you start? You said that when you were home with 14 years ago.
Yeah.
So how did that start? I mean, how do you do that?
So I started volunteering with fundraisers where families just needed some money to help. Well, then I said if they need money, right, there's got to be a possibility that they also need food.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 7 years ago, the town of Afton kind of started to gather a shelf or a closet. It turned into a closet and a storage room where people would donate food, like through the Boy Scout drives. They would donate the food there, and you could walk into the town hall in Afton one time a month and get a small box of food. One time a month, okay?
Oh, my.
Well, so I all of a sudden said, okay, if we're going to help a family that's in need of money, I'm going to go to the town hall and get them a small box of food and drop that off, too. Mm-hmm. So I got really accustomed to the incredible ladies that were doing that. And I was like, I'm here to pick up for so-and-so. And then I went, one time a month, we're helping people. I mean, that's great, but I think we can do better.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of ironic because around that same time, the search and rescue moved out of the building that's next to Travis at the Weed and Pest.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, let's just go ask. Right? I don't have a clue what I'm doing. But I think there's a need to grow something bigger than one time a month.
Yeah.
And I've had a pretty decent success with running a fundraiser. And so I'm like, here we go. I show up to the county commissioner's meeting. And at the same time, they were tearing down the Afton Elementary, in which the Friday food bags, which is the school's program where they send home a bag full of food to those going hungry on the weekends, that's where they had their food. So they needed a place to go. So I walked to the county's commissioner's meeting and I said, hey, guess what? I have no idea what I'm doing, but I have an idea and I need you to just take a risk with me. Our two agencies will go into this building together if you'll let us, mm-hmm. and we're going to grow these programs. Man, they didn't know what they were doing 7 years ago because they said yes, which is great because I don't take no very lightly. I've been told no once on a fundraiser, and that mistake was never made again. And so, but you have to ask, right? Yeah. You have to say, I have an idea. Here's what I'll do. And just ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
So that was in February of 2016. They said, here's a building. Go for it. And I pulled my closest friends that had run fundraisers with me and said, let's run a food bank. I don't know what that looks like. Anyone ever run a food bank before? But luckily, we have people in our community who have helped in that realm, like Julie Buckley at Thane's Food Bank. So we just decided to reach out and ask for help. Mm-hmm. And we started from the ground up. We got our 501c3 as fast as we could. And September 1st, 2016, we opened our doors to the public to be open every single Thursday night.
That's amazing. Rather than once a month. A little box, yeah.
Yeah, and we thought it'll just start with a small box of food, right? We'll just start small. When we took it over from the town of Afton, they had been given $1,000. And they said, here, have the $1,000. It goes with the food bank. And then we got to the closet of food, and we rescued 102 cans of green beans because everything else was expired.
I remember one night with Sierra over there, and just everything was expired. And I felt so bad.
Yeah.
Because you're just trying to do something good, mm-hmm. but it's all expired, and you can't really give out expired food.
We cannot. And so we were like, uh-oh, what do we do? So we took the $1,000. We went to the high school because I am all about partnerships and knowing where a connection might be, because that's the biggest key to all of this. Uh-huh. Running an event, running anything, is who you know and how you can work together. So I went to the high school shop class, and I said, I have $1,000. Can you build shelves in this very empty room in the basement of the food pantry building? And the last week of school, Mr. Homer Bennett cleared the shop class. They came, and to the 2x4, they had it exact and built the shelves. So we started with shelves, and we started with 102 cans of green beans, which everyone loves green beans, right? So then we just had people saying, what can we do to help that whole summer? So Sarah Hale cooked Navajo tacos out the back of SVI, charging $10 a Navajo taco. That got us our first $700 to buy food. We started with absolutely nothing except green beans and money for shelves.
Wow.
That was 7 years
ago. What a miracle. That is so crazy.
Well, yeah.
Well, having worked right next to Sierra for 7 years, I can attest to the fact of how big it's gotten.
It's gotten huge.
It is huge. Like, huge. To the point where I can't even use my office on Thursdays.
I'm really sorry. Just get out of there by four, would you?
I know, right? If it was only that easy. Weeds just die after 4 o'clock.
That's right. I got people to feed.
Is there a limit to what they can take?
So it's interesting. We've evolved a lot in the last 7 years, and here's why. We have a very unfriendly patron building. We have a two-level building. Our food is in the basement because it's cool, and that's the room that we had. Then remember, we were sharing this building for all but until this year. So we had to have common spaces, and we couldn't let patrons in, and then there was slips and falls because a lot of our people were elderly.
Wow.
So we utilized the garage, and they would come in, but what we started with was that we would pre-box their food so that we could also watch what was going out and then know what to order and then brace for everything that could happen. So for 6 years, we gave what we thought was the best food choices for our patrons. You know, great food, that common stuff like soups and pasta that everyone would probably utilize.
Right.
But we had to make it work because patrons weren't allowed to come into the building, especially when COVID hit. When COVID hit, we had to completely abandon our system because no longer could our patrons wait in a line to come in. So we adopted a drive-through for the last 3 years. From 2020 to this year, we were a drive-through food pantry. Wow. And we would check you in at your car. So we would stand outside in all the weathers, you know, because Star Valley has so many of them. And we would check in. We would run in. We'd grab a bin of food with our volunteers and we would bring it out.
Wow.
And then as we kept evolving, we kept saying, okay, we might be helping by giving them a box of food, but what if our patrons aren't able to utilize some of this? What if they don't know how to cook it? What if they are allergic? What if we all of a sudden got diabetics coming through a line? Well, how do you help those people?
Yeah, yeah, really?
Yeah.
That's true.
And then we even started to see some of our food, and it's not to fault anyone, but some of our food would come back through food drives. And trust me, people, we know where you got that food because only the Afton Food Pantry and other food banks date their food. And so when, as we started to see dated food come through, you know, school food drives or community food drives, we went, wait, maybe we're not giving people things that they're able to utilize the most. Hmm. And we've just grown. We keep growing. As we've started to grow, all of a sudden fridge and freezer started coming to us. Well, then all of a sudden 4-H donors said, have an animal. And we went, oh, we got a beef. Fantastic. Where do we put it? And how do we incorporate that in? And then we got a geodome and we started growing produce. So all of these things in 7 years, because the community is supporting what we're doing and getting behind us and saying, I have this. How can this help? And we're like, wow, okay, this is awesome. But we're sharing a building with another agency and we're growing, busting at the seams. And so amazing of our Friday food bag program. They said, let us find a new location so you can continue to grow. Mm-hmm. So in January of this year, they moved out and we got custody of the whole building. And at that point we went, let's change our system to become a patron choice, which means our patrons will come into our building and shop for the items that they need most. Because you and I know our kids are probably not eating beans or whatever, you know. Sure. They're going to want, you know, something different, or peanut butter versus mayonnaise, or the kind of cereal. Let them pick it. Mm-hmm. So for the last 9 months, we've been patron choice. And it's really cool because they can come in, they can grab the items that they know they'll eat within limitations. Everything has a limit based off your household size. Mm-hmm. And then out the door you go, and we may see you back in a week, or we may see you back in a month.
So Sierra, that's a big thing to manage. So
I mean,
when you
it's
say
huge,
when you say household size, I mean, back up a little bit. Are you going off of just what they say, or do you have to prove that you've got 4 kids, or can I tell you I have 10 kids? I mean, how do you regulate that? And are there people that That's do try to point. Take advantage of that? And speak to that for a little bit.
So this is something that I'm going to be brutally honest with, because it's important to our donors, to those that support us, to those that come. We do have rotten apples in the mixes sometimes. Sometimes there are people that 100% take advantage of our program. There are people that hit all the food banks when they're only supposed to utilize the food bank in their area.
Oh.
There are people that lie on their paperwork because they have to fill out a paper when they come. Mm-hmm. What we go with is that the judgment is not on us. And at the end of the day, we will not account for what somebody else did to us. We will account for if we served the individual that expressed having a need.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have had people like, oh, I have a baby. And then all of a sudden our diapers are on, you know, the local websites for sale. And we're like, oh, that's not so good.
Sure.
And so it's a really tricky balance at the food pantry. And our rule is no judgments here. You know, we see people of all different walks of life. But the ultimate thing that we fall back to is that we are accountable for what we choose to do as a board and as a pantry, and the community gives it to us. We give those items out in good faith, and that individual themselves will answer for lying to us, for, you know, cheating the system. We just can't, we can't control what they do, but there are times we have caught people absolutely taking advantage of the system, and we do have a conversation with them. And, you know, once somebody gets caught, they're a little more careful.
Yeah.
You know, but we have had that happen. Absolutely. And we do have some individuals in our line that I tell those that come and volunteer, you know, some people put their money where it's not supposed to go, and that sucks. And we're like, darn, you know, that could buy you groceries. Where you're putting that money could, you know, should go somewhere else. But at the end of the day, the community gives everything to us, the money, the food, or the volunteers to make it happen. And we will feel good in our hearts knowing that we served anyone and everyone who came, despite what choice they're making to do to us.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's amazing.
And you have built it from nothing to that speaks volumes about what kind of person you are.
Well, it actually is our community supporting what we're doing. And that's what's incredible. Like, people don't realize the pantry's all volunteer. Mm-hmm. You know, I always tell people I get paid in blessings, because that's really what comes from getting to serve someone else.
Sure.
You know, but it's the community going, I got a freezer, I got a fridge, I got, you know, a 4-H animal, I will donate. I have a game animal. People don't know, Travis's family has been giving us game for the last 3 years. They were one of the first families to participate in the food from the field. So game meat can come our way and we can give 2 pounds of protein out. You know, it's just people giving a little bit, and that's what the pantry is. It's everyone giving a little bit of what they can that adds up to where we've come in 7 years. So it's actually due to the graciousness of our community that we've grown to be what we are now.
Sure. So I understand that expired, you don't accept that. Are there other foods that you can accept?
Yeah. So let's talk about expiration dates. So grocery stores, you know, any kind of commercial store cannot have any expired food on their shelves. Okay. Luckily for us, the government says food banks can have a little bit of a cheat line. So we can have food 1 year ago from today.
Okay.
As we have a food drive coming up in the next few weeks, if you go to your cupboards and it is a year ago from the date, like if it's October 3rd, 2022, that's the last day the pantry can have it. If you're donating it on October 3rd, 2022. Okay. So 1 year ago today, whatever today's date is, is the rule. Anything beyond that, we ask that you don't donate, because we're going to have to find means to get rid of it. And what that means is right now these bear baiters are going, hey, Mrs. Mitchell, you got some peanut butter and fruit? And I'm like, yeah, sure do.
Yeah.
You know, or we're going to pig farmers, you know, things like that. So we do ask that you try to watch dates. We cannot accept your own personally canned food items as much as we'd love to.
Sure.
We don't know what your kitchen looks like, and you might be the cat lady, okay?
Yep.
So we ask that you don't give us things like that. Dented, you know, if it's seeping, leaking.
Sure.
We don't want those kind of items, people. No. And we just definitely ask that you just watch those dates, because that 1987 can Grandma gave us last year.
Oh.
Thank you, Grandma. Actually, it may not have been Grandma. I don't know. It could have been whoever. We can't utilize that. And we had to open it up, and the teenagers all got a candy bar, and if they were willing to take a little spoonful
gross.
Of that tomato sauce. Oh, you guys, teenagers do anything for candy bars.
Oh my gosh, I know.
It's sad but true. So we have an expired food challenge every year at the food pantry with the high school seniors.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, footballers will do anything to take a package of ramen home. They'll eat whatever. It's great. So yeah, that's the rules on expiration dates. 1 year ago today, if it's leaking, you know, if it's icking. I don't think that's a word, but we'll make it a word. We don't want it, please. We don't want it. Because you're making more work for us.
Sure. What about eggs?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about eggs. If your little chickens are laying so much, we can take them. We can take farm fresh eggs. We can take garden produce. We can take produce you want to buy us from the store. Bring it on over. We can take meat as long as it's processed, not on your kitchen table. And it needs to be USDA, which luckily the block down in Thane, we're going to shout out to them because they're our big processor. We can take those kind of items. We have room. We have fridges and freezers now. And we can take hygiene items. We take diapers. Even if you've opened them, people, we can take them. I know that baby's growing out of size, newborn to one, real fast.
Sure.
And you open that package and they grew on you. Donate them. We bundle them. We give diapers out every single week. So we can take lots of things people aren't aware of.
What about coats and clothing?
Okay, that's a realm we try not to get into anymore, because other agencies do that. So those kind of items, our focus has got to stay around food, and hygiene kind of taps into that.
Sure.
But we're going to tell you clothes, toys, please consider agencies like LSR, you know, where they can turn around and benefit their program from things like that. Now, you want to give money to us? Absolutely. We'll take your money all day long, people. You know, things like that. Diapers, like I say, at the holidays, we make a few exceptions, and new toys. We ask new gloves, new coats. Those can definitely come our way, or things for Easter baskets, because we are doing specific kid-related items around that time.
Sure.
Yeah.
In our community, you keep talking about the community involvement in this. Who are these people that are donating so much? And maybe you don't want to say that, but how? And then on the flip side of that is, how does somebody get involved?
Oh, I love that question.
So
yeah.
So, obviously, somebody's bringing in a lot of food.
Yes,
for this. So
it's true. So some of the biggest ways we're getting donations is community food drives, which one is coming up next month. So please stay tuned for that. Big community food drives. The schools do food drives. That all comes our way. So that's how we get the physical food. But then we have businesses. We have events like, you know, Christmas time events that happen. We have agencies or go back to businesses that'll say, hey, here's a donation. We need a tax receipt come December. I'm like, oh, we'll help you out, people. We can write tax receipts all day long. Or like the town of Afton, you know, they mm-hmm. help cover some of our overhead.
Awesome.
So we have great businesses that work with us in different capacities to either provide physical food, like Feed the Angels at the Bank of Star Valley, or a monetary donation mm-hmm. that we then go buy food. And money, we can actually stretch a lot farther than food because people love to give us beans during community food drives. Thank you, people, for your beans, but we don't need beans for like the next 3 years. Okay? We need money to buy rice and sure. cereal and oatmeal. And so money, we're able to go buy the exact items we're lacking on mm-hmm. that might be a little bit more expensive. Like honey is a really popular one from here to December because it's expensive, but it's sickness season, right? Everyone yeah. likes sure. honey.
Yeah.
So we just have businesses or we have individual families. Anybody can make a donation to us. They can donate on our website, aftonfoodpantry.com. They can mail us a check. People sometimes are on recurring donations with us, which is a great avenue because that means we have steady money coming in
sure.
rather than hosting fundraisers. We really try to not host big old fundraisers because my board is small. We are mighty but small, but we are tired working moms.
Yeah.
So we try not to do that. And the other avenue, which I would love to touch on, our biggest donation is people's time.
Mm.
And that's what runs the food pantry. So we need the money to buy the food. We need the food. But if we don't have people and them giving us their time, we can't even open our doors. And sadly, this summer, that's exactly what happened.
Oh,
I understand the Valley wants to play in the summertime, but we were also still having 20 to 25 people per week showing up for food.
Oh.
And we had to actually close our doors for the first time in 7 years
oh, wow.
because our volunteer force left us.
Mm.
And that's never happened. And I want everyone to know we understand we're all busy.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone is busy. You got kids. You're juggling 50,000 things. But the pantry relies on volunteers to come help us serve those in need. Sure. And all we're looking for is 5 people per week. That's it. 5 people for 3 hours.
Wow.
You know, but we didn't have it happen this summer and we had to completely change our system and shut our doors half the month because we couldn't get people to come serve alongside of us. And that's never happened. Even during COVID, we stayed open weekly and our teenagers came out and said, we'll take the risk. We'll serve. And they did. That's how our doors stayed open during COVID when we hit 80 to 90 families per week.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was the most brutal.
So that was my question. That's got to be the biggest, right? 80 to 90?
Yeah, so that's so COVID, March of 2020 to like June of 2020, we served in the 80s to 90s per week.
Oh,
and
wow.
then the other busy time, people don't think about it, is when the government shut down before.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. you have government workers going without paychecks all of a sudden.
Sure.
While it's temporary, it can devastate a family.
Yes.
And that's what I want people to know too. And I tell all the volunteers, my family... You know, my husband works at Simplot and I work full time now, but that wasn't the case. In 2 to 3 months, if he lost his job, I'm going to be a patron of the food pantry.
Yes.
Because we all fall into tragedy sometimes. Mm-hmm. It happens. It could happen to any of us.
Absolutely. Yep.
Things we don't expect pop up. There we go. You got a medical bill. You got a house fire. You got no job mm-hmm. all of a sudden. So we're there to help. But COVID-19 was brutal. And what came out of that for our end? And watch me here. I'm going to cry. So the small town that I wanted out of. During COVID-19, we did not have a lot of food on our shelves because we were trying to drain through winter to just empty our shelves and restock.
Right.
COVID-19 hit and we didn't have enough food.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, through the help of marketing, SVI, and people rallied and said, let's do a food drive. it tells you something about a small community when during a tragedy and a pandemic, I asked all of you to go into your own pantries because at that point, money was no good. I couldn't even buy the food at the grocery store.
Yep.
I had to ask our community, hey, MJ, out of your own pantry, can you spare a jar of spaghetti sauce so I can feed these families at the food pantry? And they did. And through the pandemic, when we were lowest we've ever been on food, our community came together and filled our shelves from floor to ceiling so that 80 to 90 families per week could have the food that they needed when the food pantry didn't have it. That tells you something about our small town, and that is absolutely why I love living here. That was one of the biggest lessons we learned was, wow, we were not expecting that. It came out of the blue for all of us. And now I had business owners and, you know, hairdressers who are without jobs. And they were coming to us for the first time. Some of these people have been donors to us. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they were coming to us as a patron. And I had to ask our community to go into their own pantries and spare what they could so we could feed 80 to 90 more people. And they did. And it is the most incredible thing we've seen happen through the pantry. And it tells you a lot about this small community during times of trouble.
Yep. Yeah.
So those were, we hope that doesn't happen again. But what it taught us is the pantry will stay full at all times in case something crazy goes down.
Sure.
We want to make sure we can feed whoever comes our way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were great. Well, let's just hope our numbers don't go back to that because, whoa, it was the hardest time we've ever had. But our community rallied behind us to make sure, you know, people went, I can feed my family and I can spare a few to feed someone else's. So,
yeah.
It's one of the beautiful things about here.
That is,
for sure. So now, you know, things have slowed down. We're kind of back to normal. On an average week, what would you say?
Yeah, summer's our slow season. So right now we're in the height of our numbers climbing. Mm-hmm. And what people don't realize is our elderly population is making up a bulk of our numbers. I'm like, people, it's your grandmas and grandpas coming to the pantry more than anybody else.
Wow.
Because they're on those fixed incomes and everything else is expensive.
Yeah.
You know, so things are rising around them, but they're set in what they have. So elderly make up our big numbers, followed by families with children. August is notoriously a busy month because you have school clothes, school supplies, lunch money, all those factors come in, you know. And so August, we've been hitting 30, 35 families per week, and we've been gaining 8 to 10 new patrons. That means a patron we have never seen. We've been hitting those numbers for the last 3 weeks. So we're open in just a few minutes, and I'm sure our numbers will be around 30 to 35, and that will slowly start to increase as we get toward the holidays, which become financially expensive for families, and then, you know, people don't have a garden anymore, and then construction workers don't have a job as seasonal jobs come about. So all of those things factor into, for us at the pantry, January to April are the hardest months, and we're expecting to hit 40, 45, 50 this year, which that is hard on our pantry, which is why things like food drives are so important at this time of the year, because what it does is stock us full to get through those really hard months.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. I love the little box you have in the back, because I try to religiously go there and drop off at least once a month, you know, and I'll go through my and there are items. You just don't need them. You don't need six of those. And so, yeah, that little box you have back there, if our listeners are listening, well, of course they're listening.
We hope they're listening.
I hope they are. We have a food drive coming, people. This is for you.
But there is a box back there that you can, a metal box that you can put your food in and...
Yeah, there's a box up front now, and we have two of them now.
Okay.
And then sometimes people just hang stuff on our doors, you know, like plastic grocery bags. People don't realize we go through 300 a week. I know you all have the drawer, okay, the drawer that you can't even close.
Yeah. Yes.
Donate those. Hang them right on our doorknobs. We go through a lot of those. But the other place you can donate is the Afton Town Hall. So our incredible board member, Violet, works over there. She's got a big old table and a fridge. If you want to drop stuff off from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday... She'll get it to our pantry.
Cool.
So we have a few different avenues. Please, please, please do not put like, you know, a gallon of milk in our donation bin because in the summer it doesn't go so well when we try to check it every day, but it doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, so we ask that, you know, if it's temperature related, please like get a hold of us or get it to the town hall because we're not there all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we had a shortage of toilet paper, which was ridiculous through that whole pandemic.
Yeah.
How was it for you guys? Were you also short on those items like baking goods and you know, pasta and all that kind of stuff was
so
short.
So this is wild. We were stocked to the max on toilet paper and diapers prior to COVID happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually put extra locks on the door because we thought as everyone faces a pandemic, people get nervous and get worried.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it causes people to do some things like, you know, maybe stealing it. Mm-hmm. So we actually put extra locks on thinking we would get nailed. Nobody broke into us. People were so great, but we had those items in abundance.
Oh, good.
And that so is awesome. It was like for the first time ever, we had diapers and toilet paper. People couldn't get them elsewhere, but we had them. We just didn't have a lot of physical food. So, yay, we had toilet paper. Woo! We just didn't have food to feed you.
Yeah.
Until the community helped us out. And they did.
I do too. I just feel so happy that we have people in this world like Sierra.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Sierra, for all you do for us.
You know, it takes a village. I have a great board. We have great people that help us. We have great donors. But the more important is the awareness. Hunger exists in our community. You can help us fight it by either donating money, donating food, or please give me your time. We need people to step up and help us open our doors.
I love it. Well, thank you for being with us today.
No, thank you so much. I'll come back anytime.
Okay.
We'd love it.
You're always welcome. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of Why Your Story, brought to you by SVI Media in beautiful Afton, Wyoming. Thank you to our sponsor, Star Valley Health, for all you do for us. We couldn't do it without you.
Thankful for Duke Dance and Equal Life.
Equal Life, yep. Have any bugs, spiders, weeds in your lawn? Call him. Yes, thank you to everybody. Be safe out there. I am your host, Travis Osmond.
I am your host, Mary Jo Parker.
And together we are...
Why Your Story.
Why Your Story. Thanks, everyone. See ya. Bye.
You guys killed me.